Voice of Indonesia.
Hello listeners, how are you today? With me, Ahmad Faisal. I'm so fine. I also hope all of you are fine. And today, on Wednesday, you can also do your best. For today's edition, I would like to accompany you 60 minutes ahead. And we also would like to present some programs started with news, information, commentary, and other information, as well as entertainment and Indonesian pop songs. Well, listeners, we begin our program with our news. And stay with us on Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, at frequency SW3325 kHz and website www.voinews.id.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news. First, the headlines. Indonesian President Joko Widodo signs regulation on trading in border areas. Indonesia's police spokesman says no potential unrest on May 22nd. Now the news in detail. Indonesian President Joko Widodo has signed Government Regulation No. 34/2019 on trading in border areas to regulate trade between Indonesians and foreigners who live along shared borders. The regulation stipulates that only Indonesians who live in border areas are allowed to carry out transactions with citizens of other countries who also live in border areas, according to a press statement posted on satkap.go.id on Tuesday, May 14. To purchase certain goods with foreigners outside of customs areas, Indonesians are required to show immigration and customs documents issued by the relevant offices at border checkpoints. Meanwhile, citizens of neighboring countries conducting transactions in Indonesia are required to have identity card issued by their respective countries. Furthermore, border trading is only allowed in designated areas. The regulation also specifies that only goods that meet the daily needs of those living in border areas can be traded, so long as such trade does not violate bilateral agreements and abides by prevailing laws and regulations. Indonesian President Joko Widodo launched on Tuesday, May 14, the country's first master plan for a Sharia economy for implementation from 2019 to 2024. The master plan sets out four main strategies aimed at transforming the country into a net producer instead of simply a market for halal goods and services. The strategies are to empower Indonesia's halal value chain by focusing on the country's most competitive sectors, such as food and beverages and fashion, and strengthen the presence of the Sharia financial sector as a capital provider to halal businesses. The strategies are to enhance the role of micro, small and medium enterprises as the prime mover of the value chain and cooperate with the e-commerce platforms to promote Indonesia's halal goods and services. Despite being a Muslim-majority country, Indonesia is only the 10th largest exporter to Organization of Islamic Cooperation, OIC, countries at $7.6 billion in 2017, lagging behind non-Muslim-majority countries like Brazil, the United States, and India. Maritime Affairs and Fisheries Minister Susi Pujastuti has criticized the government policy to import plastics, arguing that other countries, including China, the largest plastic consumer, had prohibited plastic import. She added neighboring countries like Thailand and Malaysia had done the same thing. She called on the government to stop plastic import because it was not in line with the policy introduced in international fora, including the United Nations. She highlighted that through coordinating Maritime Affairs Minister Luhut Panjaitan, the government had promised to reduce plastic waste by 70% in 2025. Minister Susi Pujastuti added that Indonesia was the world's second largest producer of plastic waste that mostly ended up in the sea. The minister said if the policy to reduce the use of plastic, particularly single-use plastic, did not work, in 2030, Indonesia would see more plastic in the sea than fish. Indonesia's national police confirmed that there would be no potential unrest on the day of General Elections Commission KPU announces the manual vote recapitulation of the recent parliamentary and presidential elections on May 22. Based on the intelligence surveillance, there is no potential unrest in the field. Instead, the potential riots have intensively been echoed through social media platforms, National Police spokesman Brigadier General Dedi Prasetyo said in Jakarta on Tuesday, May 14. Therefore, cyber patrols have been intensified by National Police Criminal Investigation Department's Cyber Directorate by collaborating with Communication and Informatics Ministry and the Cyber Body and National Encryption Agency. Brigadier General Dedi Prasetyo also stated that the cyber patrols are aimed to oversee the social media accounts proliferating such inappropriate contents as fake news, hate speeches, and provocation ahead of the KPU's official announcement on May 22. This news comes to you from Voice of Indonesia. The East Nusa Tenggara provincial government is cooperating with Kupang-based Nusa Cendana University, UNDANA, in conducting research on the habitat of Komodo dragons in the Komodo National Park in West Manggarai District. The cooperation is an important part of the management of Komodo habitat to ensure the survival of the animal species in the future, Secretary of the East Nusa Tenggara Provincial Government, Benedictus Polomain, said in Kupang on Wednesday, May 15. As part of the preparations for the research, heads of relevant institutions of the provincial government has held a meeting with the UNDANA research team and the Natural Resources Conservation Agency. The cooperation is also aimed at following up on the plan to shut down the Komodo National Park on January 1, 2020. Benedictus Polomain also said that the habitat of Komodo should be studied properly to ensure the survival of the animal species. The study will focus on the condition and health of Komodo, the availability of food, natural resources, and ecosystem around the Komodo National Park. Director General of Disease Prevention and Control at the Ministry of Health, Anung Sugiantono, gave confirmation that no case of monkeypox had yet been detected in Indonesia. Sugiantono noted in a press release received in Jakarta on Wednesday, May 15, appealed to the community not to become perturbed by news of the outbreak of monkeypox that might gain entry into Indonesia. Nonetheless, the public has been advised to remain on alert and follow personal hygiene habits. Monkeypox is a disease caused by viruses spread through animals. The viral disease is transmitted through contact with blood, body fluids, or lesions on the skin or mucus of animals infected with the virus. The last item. Coordinating Economic Minister Darmin Nasution was not worried about the rupiah's depreciation, arguing that the currency's weakening was reasonable because of external negative sentiments. He cited the heating trade war between the United States and China as the main cause of the rupiah's depreciation. Indonesia's need for US dollars had increased in April and May because of dividend payouts by corporations. Institute for Development of Economics and Finance, or INDEF senior economist Anisi Hartati, However sad, the weakening was not only because of external factors, but because of poor domestic economic data. She even believed that the rupiah's weakening was triggered by market players' pessimism on the possible trade deficit in April. Listener, that was the news from Voice of Indonesia. From Indonesia to the world.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, welcome to our commentary for today entitled Impacts of Mike Pompeo's Visit to Russia on U.S.-Iran Relationship. As the tension between the United States and Iran was increasing, U.S. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo visited Russia to meet Russian Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov and President Vladimir Putin. In his meeting with Sergei Lavrov and other Russian leaders on Tuesday, Moscow time, Mike Pompeo stated that U.S. President Donald Trump has a strong desire to improve good relations between the two countries. The statement very possibly is in connection with increasing tensions between Washington and Moscow related to new U.S. pressure on Iran. The U.S. hostility against Iran, in the form of new economic sanctions and sending American carriers to the Gulf region, has made Washington's relations with Moscow tense. This happened because Russia has good relationship and cooperation with Iran. Russian Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov, meanwhile, was eager to find out the American plans in resolving its tensions with Iran. Washington's policy towards Tehran became important for Russia because in a few weeks, President Vladimir Putin will likely meet Donald Trump on the sidelines of the G20 summit in Osaka, Japan. Commitments of the two countries to find a way out for crisis in various regions, especially in the Middle East, including Iran, will influence the geopolitical conditions of the world. As it is known, the U.S. new sanctions for Iran were applied while Western European countries still have economic relations with Iran. Last year, Western European countries disagreed with U.S. decisions last year to pull out from the Iran nuclear agreement. Now Washington has continued to increase its pressure on Tehran, including imposing sanctions on Iran's metal sector. This despite of the fact that Iran and some Western European countries still have trade relations in the sector. Whether U.S. policy toward Iran will change will be determined, among other things, by Mike Pompeo's talk with Vladimir Putin in Moscow on Wednesday, May 15, as well as further talks between the two presidents in Osaka the next few weeks. That was our commentary for today.
Today in history, what happened on May the 15th? I'll start with the Maharjaya Regiment Corps Day. The commander of the 5th Jaya Military Region, Colonel Umar Wirahadi Kusuma, as the commander of the military region of the Greater Jakarta area and its surrounding, issued a decree on May the 15, 1962, regarding the ratification of the establishment of the Maharjaya Regiment. The inauguration of the regiment was carried out by the Army Chief of Staff General Abdul Haris Nasution on May 20, 1962. The Maharjaya Regiment, which means the Student Regiment of Greater Jakarta and its surrounding or known as MENWA, was one of the number of civil powers to defend the country. MENWA was born in colleges as an embodiment of the university's people's defense and security system. The next historic event happened on May the 15th was the return of Okinawa to Japan in 1952. During the Allied occupation that was more dominated by America in Japan, the U.S. put its forces on the Okinawa Islands and Bonin and took over the island's mandate until Japan regained its sovereignty from allies in 1952. Okinawa remained under the US occupation. The US tried to be the sole ruler in Okinawa. With the development of the Japanese economy and politics, the Okinawa problem finally became the main topic of discussions between the two leaders of these countries. In November 1987, Prime Minister Sato Eisaku and President Lyndon Johnson agreed to the return of Okinawa for a period of 3 years. And on May 15, 1972, Okinawa officially returned to Japan. I'll end today in history with May the 15, 2010, Jessica Watson ends her trip around the world. Jessica Watson from Budderim, north of Brisbane, Queensland, sailed from Sydney on October the 18, 2009. The young girl, who was not yet 17, was considered too young and inexperienced to travel around the world. Watson proves her sailing skills. The Australian girl sailed through the South Pacific to Cape Horn in South America, then sailed the Atlantic Ocean to South Africa. She crossed the Indian Ocean and sailed South Australia. After 7 months of navigating the ocean, Jessica Watson finally finished her world tour on May 15, 2010. Jessica Watson became the youngest person who sailed nonstop around the world alone without help. Well, that was today in history from Voice of Indonesia to the world.
How do we allow us to get it?
Voice of Indonesia.
Listeners, you are still with us. Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, at frequency SW3325 kHz and website www.voinews.id. Listeners, in today's edition, we would like to give you information about My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Today's My Indonesia titled Surpassing 18%, Textile and Clothing Industry Grow Highest. Textile, Leather and Footwear Industry Director of Indonesian Industry Ministry, Muhdori, said textile and apparel industry made the best performance in the first quarter of 2019. During the 3 months, textile and apparel industry growth was the highest, amounting to 18.98%. The number increased significantly compared to the same period last year. Data from Indonesian Central Statistic Agency also showed great and medium manufacturing industry products in the first quarter of 2019 increased 4.48% compared to the same period last year. That increase was supported by apparel sector production, which jumped 29.19% due to high demand, especially from export market. Muhdori in Jakarta Sunday said high growth in textile industry and product was mainly caused by high investment in upstream sector, especially rayon manufacturers. He added the growth was also supported by import control policy implemented by the government since February 2017. Import decreased 12.1% in the first quarter of 2019. Muhdori further explained, textile industry and product were also supported by various education activities and vocational training programs carried out by the industry ministry. The program created competent and productive manpower. Moreover, it was also supported by the general elections, since big part of business people of textile and textile product industry produce campaign attributes. Based on Making Indonesia 4.0 roadmap, textile and textile industry products were one of the 5 manufacturing sectors that got high development priority in preparation towards 4.0 industrial era. The great aspiration to be realized is making national textile and apparel manufacturer among world's big 5 by 2030. Previously, Industry Minister Airlangga Hartarto said, national textile and textile product industries are capable to compete globally since they have high competitiveness, and also this was supported by industrial structure integrated from upstream to downstream, and its products are also known widely in the international market. According to Minister Hartarto, with economic growth and shift in demand from daily wear to functional ones such as for sports, Indonesian textile and textile product industry needs to build production ability and increase the economic scale so it can meet the demands in domestic and export markets. Listener, that was My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Jangan memaksakan ini, jika memang bukan yang ini, karena sesuatu yang peka buat kita jadi masalah. Yang ku mau ada di rasakan ini. Jika memang bukan yang ini, karena sesuatu yang peka buat kita jadi masalah.
Listeners, you are still with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, at frequency SW3325 kHz and website www.voinews.id. Well, listeners, we would like to present next segment, Indonesian Wonder. It is about tourism and local wisdom of Indonesian people.
Listener, today I will present new information about Siladen Island at Bunaken National Park, North Sulawesi. Siladen Island is an island at the Bunaken National Park in North Sulawesi. This island is located in the east of Bunaken Island and has a distance around 8 kilometers from the city of Manado. The island can be accessed by using motorboat and it takes around 45 minutes. Harmonization of natural scenery, beauty of undersea, fresh sea wind, chirp of birds, and sunlight are the distinction of the beach, which are ready to accompany you during your trip to Siladen Island. Siladen Island itself is located not so far from Manado Tua Island, which is one of the best places in Manado to go for holiday. Surrounded by white sand and sea, and also beautiful coral reefs with various forms and colors, so they give you scenery and pleasant sight. The stretch of white sand dominates this small island. In addition to being a diving spot which is loved by loads of professional divers, the island is also one of the comfortable snorkeling places for anybody who visits this place. Siladen Island is a maritime tourism object. This place provides you with beautiful scenery, sea park, and you can also do several activities such as snorkeling, diving, taking underwater pictures, or playing and take sunbathing on the beach. The beach is suitable for tourists who love natural environment that presents the harmonization of natural scenery. Underwater ecosystem is so amazing, which has colorful coral reefs and marine biotas. On the island, there are two ideal diving spots. One of them is Siladen, where the spot has 20 to 50 meters depth, and the other one at North Siladen. North Siladen is no different from Siladen. Not only that, you can witness coral reefs by using glass boat, which is called catamaran. Webb said the island is not so big that it is very safe for you, for those of you who want to swim. Cluster of shady trees at the seashore also gives fresh atmosphere when you are at the island.
From the island, the view of Bunaken Island and Manado Tua is very clearly seen at the west. The two of the islands are very beautiful when sunset. The most beautiful spot while enjoying sunset is that wooden bridge, which jolts into the sea. The bridge is seen classically. Under the bridge, you can also fishermen boats. From Siladen, you can also see clearly the northernmost land of Sulawesi Island. This perfect holiday should be ended by beautiful dusk. Listener, that was our segment Indonesian Wonder for today. Thank you for listening.
Voice of Indonesia.
All right, listeners, you are still with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, at frequency SW3325 kHz and website www.voinews.id.
Voice of Indonesia.
This is Voice of Indonesia with Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, a lesson in the Indonesian language on the radio. We will introduce some vocabulary and tips on how to use Indonesian language in a conversation. This segment is a joint initiative of Voice of Indonesia and the Language Development and Cultivation Agency at the Indonesian Education and Culture Ministry. Today's topic is about, is it Pak Joko's house? Or, apakah benar ini rumah Pak Joko? Next is a conversation about apakah benar ini rumah Pak Joko, or in English means, is it Pak Joko's house? Tony arrived in the front of Pak Joko's house. This is the first time for Tony visiting Joko's house.
Permisi. Permisi.
Ya?
Apakah benar ini rumah Joko?
Iya, benar. Tony ya? Teman Mas Joko.
Oh iya, iya. Joko ada?
Ada. Silakan masuk.
Oh, terima kasih.
After the conversation, now I will introduce some vocabularies and idioms related to our topic today. I will say each word slowly and twice so you can repeat after me. Rumah Joko, meaning Joko's house. Once again, rumah Joko means Joko's house. Let's jump to the next vocabulary. Apakah benar ini rumah Joko? Is it right? This is Joko's house. Once again, apakah benar ini rumah Joko? In English, is it right? This is Joko's house. Next, teman Mas Joko, or in English, Joko's friend. Teman Mas Joko, or in English, Joko's friend. Let's continue to the next one. Silakan, please, which means please. Silakan, which means please. And the last vocabulary is silakan masuk, or it means please come in. Once again, silakan masuk, which means please come in. Listener, when you want to come to your relative's house, you want to ensure whether the address is right or not. So you can ask people there, apakah benar ini rumah Joko? Or apakah benar ini rumah? You can replace the name of the house owner with the other ones. Or in English, is it right? This is X house. Or for example, is it right? This is Joko's house. The expression can also be used in the context of other conversation to confirm possessive pronoun. For example, apakah benar ini ponsel kamu? In English, is it right? This is your cell phone. Or simply you can say, is it right? Your cell phone. Is it your cell phone? And the last one is, apakah benar ini uang kamu? Is it your money? Apakah benar ini uang kamu? Is it your money? Then if you want to know whether the person you're looking for is at home or not, you can say, for example, Joko ada, Joko ada, or in a complete sentence, apakah Joko ada, apakah Joko ada, which means, is there Joko? Then the owner will let you coming in if someone you look for is already at home. Before we end today, so let's speak Indonesian for more details. Let's repeat once more the conversation that we have just listened before.
Permisi. Permisi.
Ya?
Apakah benar ini rumah Joko?
Iya, benar. Tony ya, teman Mas Joko.
Oh iya, iya. Joko ada?
Ada. Silakan masuk.
Oh, terima kasih.
That was Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, a lesson in Bahasa Indonesia or the Indonesian language. Hopefully, this lesson can be useful for you to give you better understanding about Indonesian language. See you on our next edition with more interesting topics. Sampai jumpa!
Yang mampu mengungkapkan sungguh berat beban kepedihan. Hanya Tuhan jadi jawaban akan damai serta ketenangan. Saat bencana datang tak terduga, sekejap musnahkan segala yang ada. Bawalah hatimu saudaraku untuk ku basuh dan melipur laramu agar mereka lagi satu senyum. Haruslah kau jalani, tersembunyi bahagia menanti. Masihlah banyak orang yang kau cinta, tempat berbagi kisah bersama.
Listeners, you are still with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world at frequency SW3325 kHz and website www.voinews.id. Listeners, next segment, we would like to give you information about music.
Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, listener of Voice of Indonesia. We meet again in Music Corner. For today's edition, I will present you one song by Nata Riza. After releasing his single album entitled Kekasih Impian, the name Nata Riza begins popular among Indonesian music lovers. The number of viewers of his video clip at YouTube channel has achieved 5 million people. On May 7, 2019, Nata Riza returned to show himself as a professional singer by releasing his religious track song entitled The Song that was recycled from the song of Ungu Band. The song has never been hits in 2008, with more fresh music arrangement and modern packaging of music. The song entitled Andai Ku Tahu reminds us that the death follows every life of human beings who are always close to sins, so that we are reminded to repent before we die. Listener, here is the song Andai Ku Tahu, or If I Know, by Nata Riza.
Andai ku tahu kapan tiba ajalku, ku akan memohon Tuhan tolong panjangkan umurku. Andai ku tahu kapan tiba masa
Voice of Indonesia. Voice of Indonesia.
Well, listeners, we end our togetherness in English language program broadcasting We would like to say thank you very much for your kind attention, listeners, for you to listen to our program for today. And we will give you another interesting information. And stay with us at Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, at frequency SW3325 kHz, and website www.voinews.id. Well, listeners, don't forget to like and comment at Facebook, The Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, and Twitter at Voi Indonesia, email voi@voinews.id.